We're in Acts chapter 2 this morning. Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit came to help launch the church. Peter preached a great message, and it was a big day. A big day. And we want to talk about big days today, picking up the story in Acts 2 and verse number 41, which says, "Then they that gladly received his word," stop right there. What happened to these people? They got saved. They that received the word, they were born again. Then, after they got saved, after they received God's word, what did they do? What Jesus told us to do after we get saved. Follow him in believers' baptism, an outward mark of what has already happened on the inside. Be baptized. Not in order to be saved, but because you have received the word, you have believed and been saved. And the same day, verse 41 continues, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Sounds like a big day to me. How about you? Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It was a special day. It was a big day. Our church has had what we've called big days over the years, special promotions, theme days like today. They're a fun way to boost enthusiasm and attendance. We've had around here baby day, and boy, the people will come out for baby day, won't they? This church in the past had a give it all Sunday to help pay off debt. Decades ago, was when the church buried a guy named I Can't, right? Was that his name? In full funeral fashion. They buried him. Let's get rid of I Can't, because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In 2 weeks, we will have Old Fashioned Day right here. Excited about that. Next week is Pack a Pew Sunday. We would love to invite you to come back and help us do that. But I'd like to give you a better reason to come back, maybe because you want to, whether it's a big day or not. Today, of course, is Friends and Family Day. Big days are nice, but good news, church, better news than the fact that today's a big day is this. We're already having big days around here at Grace Baptist Church. Big days are already in progress. We've had people getting saved and joining the church almost every week for quite a few weeks now. Now, around here, we've had revival meetings, and that's fine and great, but I'll tell you what's better is to have real revival, and I believe we're in the midst of it right now in our church. I believe we're right there. Well, today's a big day. We're excited to have each one here, but it's not a big day like in verse 41. Obviously, when God launches his church, that was a huge day. And 3,000 saved, wouldn't that be wonderful? We are praying for that, watching for that day in the future. But in the meanwhile, let's continue having some days like verse 47 says, having favor with all the people and the Lord adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Now that's happening right now, and that's just fine with me. I want to share with you this morning some secrets of a great church. And if you would please, look on your bulletin. Somewhere in there you'll see our outline, the title, Big Days, Acts 2, a few blanks that you can follow along with and fill in along the way. Here's some secrets of a great church. This is not my opinion, other than it's my opinion because I agree with the Bible. These points that we will study today come directly from Acts chapter 2. And so, let's see what God has to say to our hearts today. Secrets of a great church. The first one is a great church has a converted membership. Converted membership. All right? These are essentials to having a great church. Converted membership. In verse 41, it says that 3,000 were saved. In verse 47, it says, such as should be saved. and it was the Lord who was doing it. Notice at the end of verse 47, and the Lord added daily. It's the Lord who did it. It was genuine, the real thing. Now at Grace Baptist Church, the lost are welcome. Those who need to be saved, they are invited. They are honored here. And here's a promise. They'll be instructed in how to be saved. The greatest knowledge that any of us can ever come to and know. How to be born again. If you need to be saved today, this could be your big day. There's no better day to be born again than today for you. Well, in verse 41, they got saved and then they got baptized. So the first secret of a great church is a converted membership. Number two. Wow, this is going quickly, huh? Don't get too excited. Constant ministry. A second essential secret to a great church is that there's constant ministry going on. The job has not been completed once somebody gets saved. It's only just begun, right? And constant ministry is what needs to happen next. Notice what happened right after they got saved. Look at our text, verse 42. And they continued. Whoa, stop right there. That rings my bell. How about you? They continued. Have you ever known someone to make a profession of faith or claim to have been saved and then not continue? That's sad. These people got the real thing because they continued, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking bread, prayers. The test of a great church is not just how many decisions there are, how many people walk the aisle and say, I believe. That's wonderful, but listen, do they stick? Are they continuing? Are they growing? Are they developing? Verse 42 says, they continued, and that blesses my heart. Not only were they baptized, but they were discipled. They became faithful to church. They began reaching others themselves and living for something bigger than themselves in this life until they go home to heaven. Fruit began growing on them like new trees. That's what happened here. And you know what the proof is that you are alive? That you grow. Growth is the proof that you've been born again and that you are alive. Growth is proof that I'm alive. I've been growing all my life to a certain point, maybe not to where I would want to, but even when I stopped growing this direction, I continued growing in other directions. And growth is the proof that you are alive. I like what the late Adrian Rogers said, quote, if nothing happened to you after you walked the aisle, then nothing happened to you when you walked the aisle. Fruit, Jesus said, is the proof that you are one of His trees. You will grow fruit, Christian fruit, upon you. Well, we're seeing big days. We have dozens of people here who are doing discipleship. That's great. Many more who are just about to begin, who've recently been saved. I'm excited. It's really happening here. Are you excited about that, church? I want to make the case to you this morning that God is in this. He's in this place. And if that's true, perhaps you should be in this place too. We're having big days. It's exciting. We want to hold on to it. I want to try to do my best to not do anything to mess that up. How about that? How about you? We've got a good thing going. And we can't keep it going. And the devil sure can bring it to a stop. But God is greater than him. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We must trust in Him through this. Well, we're talking about a healthy ministry today, not an anemic ministry. And a healthy ministry, write it down, enjoys a few things. We're still here under constant ministry, okay, under this main point. And a healthy, good ministry will enjoy, number one, truthful teaching. Truthful teaching. Look in verse 42 at the end, or in the middle, that word doctrine. They continued in what? They continued steadfastly in what? In the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine literally means teaching. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. That's continuing in the teaching and the doctrines, becoming a person of the Bible. It's exciting to me to see people wanting to learn, desiring preaching, laying aside all excuses and making it a priority, setting aside the time. We've got a lot of people around here who drive a great distance, faithfully to church, 30 and 40 minutes. That says a lot about him. I saw a man who was just recently saved last Sunday, not only staying all afternoon for our all-day fast here at the church, not only participating with the fast, but just wanting to read his Bible all day long and asking for a new recommendation on a new study Bible and how to get more into the truthful teachings of the Word. Doesn't that bless your heart? I know it does God's too. Constant ministry. Not only truthful teaching will be a part of a healthy ministry, but there's going to be some fun fellowship too. Fun fellowship. Now, we're not here just for the social. We're not a social club. We are a hospital for sinners. If you're a sinner, but a sinner who's been saved by grace, would you say amen? Hey, that's who we are. All right? And we have some fun fellowship too, and that's who we are. The word fellowship literally means, comes from a Greek word, koinonia, which means to have in common. Put in today's vernacular, fellowship is two fellows in the same ship. We're in this together. If a believer wants to be right with God and grow, they've got to be around other believers to encourage them. No coal can remain hot if it's alone, away from the other coals. You rake the coals together and you have fellowship together. The Bible says when two lie together, then they have heat. This is the point here. One time a man asked his preacher, "Can't you go to heaven without going to church?" And the preacher replied, "Sure." And the man was about to praise the pastor's answer when the pastor continued, "But why would you want to?" Did you hear that today? Can you go to heaven without going to church? Yes. Why would you want to? Why would you want to? I wouldn't want to try to live the Christian life by myself. It's too hard. Just because it's possible to live the Christian life by myself does not mean it's probable, and it certainly wouldn't be very enjoyable. We're in this together. Story told about two hicks out in the field. They saw an airplane fly overhead, a jet plane way up there. They had never been on one. The first one said, "I'd hate to be way up yonder in that airplane." The other one said, "Yeah, but I'd hate to be way up there without it." You know, some people may not like to be in church, but if we're going to be in church, we might as well be with other believers. That's where it's all at. In Scripture, believers are always pictured together as something like this, like sheep in a flock. You've seen that in your Bible? Believers are pictured like sheep in a flock. When sheep are divided, they become an easy target for easy prey for the roaming lion. And by the way, Satan is a roaming lion, looking for whom he can devour. He's just looking for that one that separates themselves from the flock, from the church, who says, "I don't really need the flock." And listen, that's a bad attitude. And that was a bad joke, wasn't it? The Bible pictures us in ways like this. It also pictures us as soldiers in an army. Soldiers in an army. That's because we're in a war, ladies and gentlemen. This is a battle. And make sure you're on the right side, by the way. Make sure and read the back of the book, and we know who wins. Make sure you're on that team, okay? Because the end may be coming very soon. We are in a war in the meanwhile, and the safest place to be is in your unit, behind your CO, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get separated, or you could be taken captive by the enemy. See, we need fellowship. We need this fellowship. One thing, by the way, I love about our fellowship here at Grace Baptist is that the ground is level. Have you noticed that? The ground is level here. Cliques, they sometimes spring up in churches. If they've been here, it's in the distant past. Cliques are a thing of the past. In the Bible, we see some times where some people were saying, "Well, I'm of Paul. No, I'm of Apollos. I'm of Demas." It's not that way. Not here. Not, "I'm with Pastor Jerry." "Well, I'm with Brother Jerry. I'm with my other brother, Daryl." That's not how it is here. We're the people of God. Amen? And by God's grace and through continuing efforts, may the cliques remain in the distant past. Well, at Grace Baptist Church, we're open to the rich as well as the poor, the educated, the uneducated. the cultured, the uncultured. Hey, we've got them all here. We've got our yard sailing, goodwill hunting folks, and we've got our Von Mars. Yes. We have people here who do all their own cooking, and we do have Miss Kay. We've got plenty of blue collar. We've got white collar. We've got no collar. Don't ask me. I don't have caller ID. Are they getting worse? I actually thought that was a step up. My bad. Listen, God doesn't care about that stuff, right? Man sees the outward appearance. God looketh on the heart. You don't have to be a big shot to come here, but if you are a big shot, well, come on, you need Jesus too, just like the rest of us. We're all sinners, and we all need fellowship, whoever you are. And you don't have to be part of the upper crust at Grace Baptist. I like that. Besides, you know what the upper crust is? It's just a bunch of crumbs held together by dough. So, I'm going to stop trying. Then you'll be sorry. You'll miss it. That's what I predict. Here's the point. Thank God for a church where the ground is level, where nobody's anybody and everybody's somebody. Amen? Obey your thirst. Don't do it because somebody says you ought to do it or just out of duty. Obey your thirst. How much of God is enough of you? Small, medium, or large? Is an AM service once in a while good enough for you? How about PM or Wednesday night or Sunday school? We'll always challenge you with those things. We need some people to step up to the next level and say, supersize it, baby. I can't get enough of my God. I can't get enough of His Word. I can't get enough of my church and being with His people. I can't get enough doctrine and teaching and fellowship. So we've seen a couple of things that are in a healthy ministry here. There's the fun fellowship. There's the truthful teaching. Number three, persistent prayer. Number three is persistent prayer. Verse 42, again, at the end it says, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So we're talking about prayer now. To sum it up in just a brief statement, cover this point quickly, let me just say, we can learn the hard way or we can learn the easy way because the Bible tells us. We can try education and we'll see what education can do. We can try science and technology and we'll see what they can do. We can try industry, see what industry can do. We can try programs and promotions and we'll find out what they can do. But try prayer and you'll see what God can do. It's His way. Prayer moves the hand that moves the world. So we must take advantage of it. And then have devotions. You know, let God speak to you. You're talking to Him in prayer. Now He's speaking to you through His Word. It's a communication. It's a two-way street. It's a good thing. Prayer. We could read later in the book of Acts, and we could see Peter being in prison. And through prayers, he was released. How was he released? An angel fetched Peter out of prison. But listen, an angel fetched Peter out of prison, but prayer fetched the angel. Without the prayer, it would not have happened. So, fellowship, teaching, prayer. Number four, plentiful participation. We see that right in our text, verses 43 and 44. We just read it. Look at it again. Verse 44, all that believed were together and had all things common. They didn't sit back and let the apostles do it all. They all got involved. Each one carried the shouldered part of the burden, each according to their ability. They had all things common. Each one was witnessing, and each one was inviting others to join them. Each one was in the rotation for the nursery or kids' ministries. Each one was at the workday. Each one tithed. Each one did their fair share. But sadly, you know what most churches are like today? Not like that. They're more like an NFL game. 50,000 seated spectators who desperately need exercise, watching 22 people work themselves to death who desperately need rest. This is not about entertainment. This isn't about the jokes. We've learned that today, haven't we? It's got to be about something bigger. Not just spectating, but participating. Verse 45, sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now listen, this verse is not a mandate for the church. This was a temporary situation based on special circumstances that they had at this time. Think about it. In those days, these 3,000 who just got saved, they were Jewish, and when they were born again, it was like a no-no. They would lose their jobs. They'd be persecuted, disowned by family members. Still today, when an Orthodox Jew converts and is born again, becomes what we call a Messianic Jew, one who believes that Jesus truly was their Messiah, the family has a ceremony, like a funeral. You probably know this, brother. Declaring that one to be dead, and we are dead to you. And so, special circumstances here is why they helped one another get through these difficult times. Well, we're in America today, a Christian nation, and we are not facing persecution currently for our beliefs. There's no reason not to be saved. Well, all that they had was at God's disposal. Now, that's something we can learn from this. Our time, our talents, our treasures, it all needs to go back to Him. So a successful church must have a converted membership and constant ministry. And then third main point here, continual multiplication. Continual multiplication. In Acts 1:15, it says there was about 120 followers of Jesus, disciples at this time. Next chapter, Acts 2:41, that's in our text here. What does it say? 3,000 souls were saved. Okay, see the underlined words? Look at Acts 44 on the screen. About 5,000, Acts 4:4 says. Look how it's growing. And in Acts 6:7, the Word of God increased. The number of the disciples multiplied. Now they're not just adding, they're multiplying. Now we need to add, but we need to add and learn how to teach them to add. And guess what? When you're adding and they're adding, what are we doing? We're multiplying. It's sad that so many churches today are subtracting and dividing, isn't it? We need to get back to the old math. Multiplying, as it says there on the screen. Multiplied. Well, at Grace Baptist Church today, we're about 200 at best on our membership rolls, and the FBI couldn't find all of them on the same day with all of their tools. That's good, right? But listen, do you want to stay that way? No, me neither. Me neither. And I don't believe that God has kept these doors open here for no reason. I don't believe He's raised up a group like we have here for no reason. I don't believe that He has given us the pews that are behind the flags for no reason. It doesn't seem like good stewardship to just leave them empty, does it? Or a few rooms in the building still empty. I think God wants us to fill it up. And with His help, we can do that. The foundation is laid. The big days are upon us. The Lord is adding daily to the church. And we're going to need some really big days to meet the challenge. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll also see our goals. Do you see the section, a different section than the sermon? I don't have a bulletin on me. But it says goals there. We have a certain number that we want to see get saved, and we are well on our way since we started these goals just a couple of months ago. And people baptized and being discipled and new members joining the church. That's a start. We're on our way. But you know what our main goal is? It's not numbers. It's people. It's people like you. Did God perhaps bring you here for that reason? Can we help you in some way? Our philosophy of ministry here is not what we can take from you, but what can we give to you. And when God calls for something from you, then give it to God. But we're all about wanting to share what we've got here. We've got a lot of good things here going on. God is blessing our church tremendously. We've got a lot to offer. Now listen, would you look this way, please? Most important thing here, right now. God loves people. He's put in us that love for people. And as a church, a strong desire to see souls saved and to help people in their lives in a way that you just, it's just hard to put into words how strong the desire is in the hearts of the people of grace to share the good things that we have with other people. I hope that you will take advantage. Hope that you will come back and be with us again. God's got good things to share with us. We've got good things to share with you. I bet you've got some good things to share with us and much that you could contribute as well. God is good. Very important that we just bow our heads and close our eyes and not miss what God has for us today. Our first point was our briefest point, most brief, and yet most important. A converted membership. Have you been born again? Have you become a child of God? Have you been saved? If you're here today and you're not sure if you've ever been saved, it's God who wants to share His salvation with you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, that's hell, but have everlasting life, that's heaven. That's what He wants. He loves us. He wants to save us. God loves you, but listen, the Bible also teaches that we're all sinners. We're all sinners. I am a sinner. You're a sinner. Like our fathers before us, we choose to sin. And it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden and that choice. And it's part of our nature now. We're a fallen nature under the curse. And the Bible says that in and of ourselves, as sinners, we cannot go to heaven. We can't be good enough. We can't keep the Ten Commandments if we wanted to try. We can't do it without failing somewhere along the way. The Bible says God is so holy and perfect and just that He can't allow even one sin to enter into heaven. That would taint His perfection. And so we're in a bit of a quandary at this stage, aren't we? We're all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short. We can't make it to heaven on our own. And then it goes on to say, the wages of sin is death. Sin has to be paid for. God demands that justice be done. You do the crime, you got to do the time. You do the sin, there has to be a punishment for it. I'm so thankful that that verse that says, the wages of sin is death, goes on with good news and says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who took our punishment for us so we don't have to go to hell. He took my hell for me on that cross, as He did for you. Our sins were laid upon Him as if He had committed them when He had never sinned, in order for Him to give us perfect righteousness that we don't have ourselves and we must have in order to go to heaven. Oh, this is good news today, folks, that God loves us even though we're sinners. Our sin has to be paid for, but Jesus paid for our sin in dying on that cross for us. And the way that we can be saved, the Bible says, is by asking Jesus to save us, trusting in Him alone, not yourself and your good works, not your offerings or anything else that your church tells you to do, but what the Bible says to do. Here's what the Bible says, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, when I called on the name of the Lord, here's what I was saying. I need You, Lord, because I can't save myself. I can't be good enough to go to heaven. And so I'm calling on You to save my soul. If you're here this morning and you've never believed on that, you've never been born again, asked Jesus to save you, then we would invite you to do that. We never point somebody out or embarrass them or anything like that. The decision to be born again is a decision between you and God. But as a preacher of the gospel, of the good news, I tell you right now, according to the Word of God, on the authority of Scripture, you can pray what we call the sinner's prayer. You can pray a prayer like this in your heart. If you want to be saved right now, don't pray it to me, pray it to God. and with every head bowed and every eye closed, in a private moment between us and God, don't have to pray it out loud, but in your heart, if you can pray it and mean it to God, you can be saved today. On the authority of the Word of God, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on Him right now and just say, Dear God. Go ahead, just pray it in your heart to God. Thank you for loving me. I admit that I'm a sinner, and I realize today that I am not fit for heaven myself. I need you. I realize today that sins must be judged and paid for, and I thank you. I believe that you paid for my sins so I don't have to, by dying on the cross in my place. Please forgive me of all my sins and wash me clean. Save my soul right now. I trust in you as my only hope to take me to heaven when I die and walk with me the rest of my days here on this earth. Help me to live my life for you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads still bowed, please. Let's keep this private. God is looking on. I'm looking on. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it today, I promise just to pray for you. Again, not by name or even approach you, but I'll be thrilled and rejoice with you. And God is watching to see if you really meant that. You'll raise your hand now. If you just prayed to be saved all across the room, would you raise your hand as a testimony? I prayed it and I meant it. Yes, I see that hand. Somebody else? Yes, I see that. And there's another. Just slip it up and write back down. If you prayed to be saved today because you weren't sure that you were saved, you meant that. Anybody else? I meant it. All right. Again, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Praise the Lord for some who've indicated that they prayed that prayer. And for the rest of us, if we believe, hey, we need to be in church, don't we? I know that many places it's been done wrong, perhaps even here at times. But Grace Baptist Church today stands as a testimony that it can be done right. With God's help, we can hold on to these good things, put out the little fires and the snares of the devil, his traps to try to trip us up. This is a good place we'd love to share with you. And if God would lead you to come and be a part of this church in days to come, then you'd be invited to as well. If we could counsel privately with you and help you with any question that you have, or privately in the office, help you get saved, or talk to you about whatever that you're going through in this life, we offer that too. God is good. What we're going to do right now is have what we call an invitation. We're going to open this altar up for any prayer needs whatsoever. And before we even pray, I'm just going to open it up right now to people of Grace. If you have got people that you want to see saved, whether they're here or somewhere else, you can just come to this altar. You can begin praying for them right now. There's many here who've given indication that they may need to be saved. You could come and pray for them, pray for one another. You may have other prayer needs as well. People of Grace, you come. If you're one of our guests, you'd like to use the altar today, you're more than welcome to do that. However God would lead. We're going to pray, and then we're going to have a few verses of invitation. And if you'd like to come and use this altar, then you can follow these that are already here. Lord, thank you for your word, how it speaks powerfully to us. We just want to rely on it and stay close to it so we never get off track and never become an anemic church. Help us to be a healthy church. Help us to be a growing church and to be good stewards and do all that you want us to do here and reach all that you would have us to reach and see many people get saved. Lord, bless the prayers of the righteous gathered here right now, and may souls be saved because of it. In Jesus' name we pray. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand right where we are, quietly, reverently, still in prayer to God. If you'd like to use the altar, you come. If you'd like to pray in your seat, you feel free. Let's just commune with the Lord as we close this service. Let's thank Him for what He said to our hearts. Ask Him, would You have me come back to this place again? I believe everything happens for a reason. Perhaps He's crossed Your path with this place for a bigger reason than just the invite that You got from a friend or family member. Let's just commune with the Lord in our spirits right now. If you're here today and you just prayed to be saved, and you'd like to tell the church, you can come to me. I'm watching on right now. If you'd like to come and let the church know about your decision today, you come meet me here at the front. If you'd like to know more about it, just let me know. We'll send you out with a counselor who will take a Bible in a private room and answer your questions, show you the verses, pray with you, make sure that you know how you can know that you're saved. Did you just pray to be saved? Would you come? This invitation is still open, and we're going to have more verses. If God's working in your heart right now, can we help you? Maybe take the hand of that person next to you and say, would you go with me? I need to pray, or I need to be saved. If we can help in some way, or just say a prayer for you, we're more than willing. Amen. Thank you, ma'am. You can just remain standing where you're at and you can look this way. If you were blessed to be in God's house today, would you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord for it. Hey, just an invitation. Obey your thirst. I'm excited about what we're going to be preaching from the book of Romans tonight. And if you'd like to come back, that is at 6 o'clock. It's our service on Sunday night's a little more brief than our Sunday mornings, but it's still another opportunity to hear the Word. And Wednesday nights, then our full programs around here from a meal at 5:30 that we offer free your first time ridiculously expensive thereafter. No, just $2 for kids and $3 for adults, actually, after that. Is very good, and we'd love to have you anywhere between 5:30 and 6. You can arrive, and it's just informal, and slop it on yourself, and well, not on yourself, but you can fellowship there. Excuse me, and we have a 6:30 service then here on Wednesday nights with full children's ministries, and believe it or not, we usually have as many or more people on Wednesday nights as we have on a Sunday morning. We just got such great midweek services here. Adults are in a service with me. Brother Jerry and his leaders have some great teenagers upstairs, and then the different four different groups of children's ministries and a ton of workers, and it's just an exciting time. But tonight at 6, you're welcome back as well for our Bible study right here in this room. Thanks again for being here. Let's all give the Lord the glory for a good day today, shall we?